I'm Josh Cooperman, and this is Doctoring Up Design, the official podcast of Design Hardware. We bring you engaging conversations with incredible design talents, so if you are in the trade, you can hear what others are doing to craft extraordinary design, and if you're a client in need of a designer, you can find the right talent for your next project. Design Hardware can help you with some of the world's greatest decorative hardware, building materials, and wood floors, plus a selection of bespoke products that will elevate any project from ordinary to extraordinary. From LA to London to the Middle East, they ship anywhere and everywhere you have one trusted point of contact. Why do we love designers like Lorena Pulicino, the founder of Lorena Pulicino Design in Manhattan Beach, California? Lorena has experience in both design and architecture, which gives her a unique perspective to her work. Her vast international travel informs her work, work that is both domestic and international. Her keen eye for emerging design ideas, in addition to her attention to detail, makes her one to watch in the coming years for sure. Her work is defined by a stylish yet practical sensibility and a keen eye towards trends. Lorena's architectural background, like I said, allows her to work seamlessly with architects and contractors, making her uniquely suited as a designer for new home construction and remodels. We love that, and think you will too.
Hi, my name is Lorena Pulicino from Lorena Pulicino Design, and I'm based in Manhattan Beach, California.
How did your international upbringing, growing up abroad, how did that inform the way you design today?
It's greatly, I would say. I grew up with a family of, you know, Italian father, Argentinian mother. It's, you know, a lot of passion. And we were always together. We had long 2-hour dinners every single night, everybody together, no excuses. I have 2 awesome sisters. I'm the middle one. And it was ingrained in us that family number one, number two, and number three, and then work, big work ethics. So everything we did was just really fitting that one thing: what's best for the family, for yourself, for the family, for yourself, for the family. So it just having to, and also I grew up with different languages, so when I ended up working here, I didn't really realize how useful it was gonna be. To speak Spanish, it's like every job site, it's just everybody that it's working on the job site speaks Spanish. So it has been, that was a super bonus. Also having, you know, being exposed to other cultures and seeing what people with less resources or more resources or just ways they live, things they believe on, things that are important to them, you know, how they live and how they relate to their families. And, you know, do they have giant family gatherings because they're, you know, from India? Or it's just a lot of different things you learn in life that really just you don't learn in school. That's, my parents had no money to splurge, but we went on amazing trips every year. It's the only money they spent. We would fly to a country for 30 days and travel. Just in a van, we would just travel in a van. No reservations, no hotels, no restaurants, nothing fancy. It would just be, we would land in Spain and then just travel around. And like that, we did the entire West Coast. You know, we weren't living here, so it was with the entire West Coast of state New York and Canada, and we just did. So that was, to me, the best schooling, really. Just being just exposed to other people in other countries. I've lived in Argentina and Puerto Rico, and here I didn't live in any other place than those 3 countries, but it's just those travels just open your eyes to everything. So
how does that translate into the work you do? Like, you know, specifically, for example, there has been over the last couple of years this, what I would call, a hyper focus on quality of life over quantity of life. It's more about how can you take what you have. You talk about, you know, landing and for 30 days just going, and it's nothing fancy. It's just being and experiencing and exploring. Have you found that clients are asking for more of that experiential nature.
Absolutely. I think that's COVID did that. We spend so much time at home and people spend time looking at, really looking at their spaces and using them, that before everybody's just busy in and out, you know, appointments and things, which we're kind of getting closer to that now that everybody's back again, super busy. But they got a sense of and a taste of what it is to really enjoy your space and the things that, you know, that things that make your life better. And then they learn a few things then that now they want. So also, you know, good materials you'll have for life. And we end up going to really old materials to feel refreshed and renewed, even though they've been around forever. Just they're like good materials, that natural stones and things that have been around that just make you feel better. But also having, you know, as designers, I think we get a feeling for a space or from the client, and we try to manifest that feeling into items, into surfaces, just having it so they can probably tell you what they want to feel, not necessarily what select anything, but it is our job to say, I got it. This is what you need. This is what's going to achieve that. And I'm just very practical. So I don't like the idea of having clients worry about their things. I just want them to really live in them and enjoy them. So I'm just relentless on the, okay, how many cats, how many pets, how many kids, you know, what's going, because if you have to be worried, then you're not enjoying it. You know, if you want to go crazy in a powder room, go for it. You're in and out. But other than that, it's you just want to really enjoy your space. You're spending the money, and I think it also makes your life better if you don't have to worry about it. So just having, again, to me, goes always back to fitting your family values. Family values is enjoying yourself and enjoying each other. Then don't worry about anything else.
How do you manage the international projects? Because you do both international and domestic here in the States. How many projects a year do you work on? And is it more challenging working on international projects than domestic?
The domestic ones, I'm in those job sites all the time. So they're right there, we're in and out. Anything that comes up, we're just run over. It's the international ones, there's usually a team. It's either, you know, an architect and a contractor. And then we do the designing, and then I go visit. We go less often, obviously, but it's so far so good. I done projects in other countries that are further away than the ones that I'm doing now, and have run smoothly. But you do depend on teams on site to, you know, contact you if there's anything, or any questions, or there, you know, any shipping issues, which are no fun. But, you know, those come up, but you just really depend on teamwork and just everybody getting along together. But then again, it goes back to being able to communicate with these people in their language. Also super handy. So we do pretty good work with the contractors. Very good relationship, because I drew so many plans for so long that I understand the architecture of the house and where the steel beams are. I'm not going to be suggesting a niche in a wall that there's a steel beam running through it. That I can't understand all that. It just makes everything run smoother for the contractor and for everybody else. It's like I'm not wasting time suggesting things that can't happen. So that's really helpful. And, you know, having good communication with the contractor makes those jobs out of the country way easier. And then the time zones between, and then things are in meters, not in feet. So it's a lot of in between. I love it. I absolutely love it. And they're usually clients that it's a vacation home that I've done two other ones for them, and this is the third. Or so we already have a relationship. They just let me loose.
They let you do your thing.
Yes.
How many projects a year are you working on now, do you think?
30.
No kidding. How many people are in your office?
We're four.
How do you manage that many?
Well, you know, the projects have a long, as you know.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. And there's a range, I imagine, between a refresh and a ground up.
Yeah, so when it's, yes, the majority are ground up. There are some that way smaller, that is an old client that we did everything, and now the daughter left and it's a new room, you know, and then we're just, obviously I'm not going to say no to those people because I've been super lucky with clients. Really, they have the best clients. So for them, I say yes, and then we do, you know, the room, and then we're done. But they have a long, long, from designing, I like to be involved at the very beginning when the architect is drawing it. Because that to me is, I love to really work on the layout and the flow and just make sure that things that I already know that they want are gonna fit. So I go back and forth with the architect when I'm called early enough. If it's, oh my God, we didn't need a designer and we're building. It's sometimes I take those, sometimes I don't take those because it seems too late. But you can stagger them. You're like, this week is this, this week is this, this week is this, and this week is this. I love it. I only take good people as clients. That's it. That's my one rule. If they're not nice, they're not coming in. And they're all referrals. All these years, all referrals. I've never done a single ad, nothing. It's word of mouth.
And 30 projects a year. That's insane.
I know, it's awesome.
It's great. Inside, outside, we do.
I do not select plants because I kill them all. But we do all the, I work with a landscape architect for that. And then other than that, it's inside and outside, yes. Hardscaping.
Years ago, I would ask designers, when I first started doing the podcast, I would say, you know, what's your favorite style? And then I realized that it's not a stupid question. It's just a pedestrian question. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what your favorite style
no,
is, right?
No, it does not.
But what I have noticed, though, is that some designers have, all of the great designers have unique through lines that you will see some consistencies in their work because they know that it works regardless of aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Do you have any things that you apply to your projects just because they are universal in nature and they work?
Yes, I do listen to them a lot. This couple that's in their late 60s and they will have a Spanish home, it's not going to be the same as this new family by the beach that wants all blue and white. And so I listen and then I edit. I do a lot of editing. I do always have clean lines, kind of, again, I'm super practical, so if I think that it's going to come back in, you know, in a year or even 6 months, and they're going to be like, oh, this is just trashed. Well, I don't want that. A lot of common sense and clean lines, and I do like color. I don't go crazy, but I do like colors and textures and have, and I love bringing in local artists. So I do, towards the end of the project, I call a bunch of local artists, love pimping those people out. So I bring them in, they bring pieces, and yeah, you know, there's been very few clients where they invest serious amount of money on art. Most people rather, you know, buy other things than an expensive painting. So I just pick and choose. But I do like them to have original art whenever it's possible. So then I come in, bring in those people that brings always usually a ton of character and color towards the end. So I would say clean lines, art, original art. I'm a big fan. I don't put 5,000 pillows everywhere. That's not my thing. But just textures, colors, and clean. I keep it clean. Even the heavier Mediterranean homes, still. And I design a lot of furniture. So we end up making a lot of furniture, which is super fun. I can draw all day long.
And then you use local workrooms.
Yes, yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
I have, yes, they're currently changing names, so I don't know which one to say. But she, for depending for what, I have the person that can do carved wood details, the person that can do super modern, the person that can do upholstery. And just, they're not all good at the same thing, you know, at all of the things. So I just go here and there. And then with the contractors, usually there comes a team that they like to work with, like a cabinet, specific cabinet guy. We draw all the cabinetry and do all the plumbing and the lighting. So all of those things get, by the time we're purchasing things, that's, we've just been working with them for like a year. So all local. I bring things from other countries when that's really the best option. Or people get just really obsessed with an item and that's it. I don't want to copy the item. I just either that item or something else. So it's a big team effort.
I love that, Lorna. Thank you.
You're
this has been another episode of Doctoring Up Design featuring an incredible conversation with Lorena Pulicino. Thank you, Lorena, for your time and talent. This podcast is presented by Design Hardware. Thank you, Michelle Solomons and Avi Balsam with Design Hardware for making this platform available and for your tireless support of the design and architecture community. Thank you for listening and subscribing to the podcast, Doctoring Up Design. Please make sure you are subscribing to the show so you don't miss a single episode in the future. You can find all the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening. See you next time.